You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title, God is Offering You Refreshment. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
This message was prepared in Central Siberia. When we hear the word Siberia, we immediately think of that region of the world far, far away and very cold. Siberia has also been a place, historically, where criminals were imprisoned or where political prisoners were sent for punishment. For centuries, traveling to or passing through Siberia has always been challenging. The small band of communists that violently took over the Russian government over 70 years ago closed much of Siberia to the rest of the world. Remote Siberia was restricted because it contained countless camps of political prisoners and also large military installations. It is winter, and so it is very cold here. We have come to visit some of the Christians who were exiled here for decades. Let me briefly describe the situation, and then I believe you will surely understand why knowledgeable people are calling the Christian Church that part which survived in Russia under communism, and especially that group which survived in Siberia, a modern-day Church of the Book of Acts. We arrived in Siberia on Saturday. Our friends invited us to attend church the next day. We accepted their invitation eagerly. Sunday morning was cold. We drove through the downtown streets of a central Siberian city, and then we turned into a side street and stopped in front of a house. At first we thought we were stopping to pick up another friend of the driver. But no, instead two men came out, opened the two wooden gates, and we drove into a small area. We stepped out of the car and into another building. It looked just like a house, like all the other houses nearby. But it was not a house. It was a place of worship. This was a church. Years before, Christians had had their churches destroyed by the communists. And since these dedicated believers were not permitted to build new churches, even in recent years, they then took houses, removed the walls from the inside, and made these buildings into worship centers. As we entered this center for worship, we could hear singing. The room was absolutely packed. It was very difficult for us to get to the front where chairs were reserved for us as visitors. Seeing this large group of worshiping Christians and sensing how they, for decades, have survived severe persecution for their faith, we were quickly reminded how our God of grace always preserves the faith of those who are His. God's example of protection for Christ's church has been dramatically portrayed over many centuries, beginning at the Savior's birth. For example, in his Gospel, St. Matthew writes that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And the Bible explains that when Herod heard that Jesus was born, he was greatly troubled. How could he get rid of the newborn king? But then God graciously intervened. God sent an angel to Mary and Joseph, the baby's parents, and said, "Arise, and take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the baby Jesus to destroy him." The Bible then further explains that Mary and Joseph took Jesus and fled to Egypt, and there they were saved from the wicked King Herod. Of course, it was not really Herod who wanted to kill Jesus, it was the devil. But God would not permit this. Our God of grace has protected His church in every century. Every time foes of the faith rise up to try to destroy the church, God graciously intervenes. This has also been true in the Soviet Union for the past 70 years. Atheistic communists used every trick, every means of scheming, violence, and even outright brutal murder in order to try to wipe out the church. But they failed, and they did not accomplish their demon-inspired goals. Of course, millions did suffer, and millions died, but the church was not destroyed. During those periods of violence and persecution, when the devil-driven communists tried to wipe out the Christian church in Russia, the committed followers of Christ stood strong with their hearts filled with hope. Here in Siberia, we have seen evidence of this. How wonderfully and powerfully these oppressed people sing. In fact, the majority of their worship time is devoted to singing. As we worshiped with these modern-day saints in Siberia, and as we joined in their hymns, one could not help but recall the inspired words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the believers in Ephesus and said, "Be filled, yes, be filled with the Spirit, and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts unto the Lord." These modern-day saints of Siberia do not merely sing religious songs. They express their faith in powerful, Christ-centered lyrics. Their hymns reflect an unshakable hope built upon the historic resurrection of Christ. Their Christ-centered faith understands that even if death itself should come, this is not the end. It is a new beginning. For if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. These Christians also understand that our life on earth is temporary. It is like a building that we live in only for a time as we wait for a new, a perfect, and a permanent heavenly dwelling. The Apostle Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he writes, "For we know that if the earthly tent which is our home is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this present house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven." Yes, this same solid heavenly hope can also be yours. By faith, you also can possess this same certainty. Believe in God, and believe also in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the sin-atoning merits of the crucified Christ, and place your faith in the eternal, life-giving power of the resurrected Redeemer. Christ-centered faith will help you. This Spirit-given faith will enable you. Yes, faith and hope in God will prepare you for the many challenges and frustrations which come into our lives every day. But don't let these frustrations break you down. Take Jesus Christ as your daily helper. And then when burdens break your strength, when discouragement drags you down, then look at the cross. Let your tear-filled eyes behold the Christ, the one who suffered the punishment of your sins. And let your mind meditate upon the Christ who died and rose to life again on the third day, so that you, yes, so that you also, through faith, can now possess the hope of heaven. The crucifixion of Christ, the foundation of your forgiveness, was a horrible event. It was carried out for no other reason than to appease the hatred of men. And for this stupidity, yes, for this plain, blind stupidity, an innocent man died. Even Pontius Pilate, the chief prosecutor of the Savior, declared, "You brought Jesus to me as one who incites people to rebellion. I have examined him, but I find no guilt in this man, and neither has Herod." Pilate's declaration of Christ's innocence made no difference. The mindless hatred of man was taking its cruel course. This ugly story would not even be worth a response if we did not know that from eternity, God planned to use the thoughts and the actions of evil men to accomplish His gracious act of love for sinners. All of these dastardly deeds came into conformity and were used to fulfill the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, voiced by courageous spokesmen from God centuries before. During His public ministry, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. And as our Savior healed the sick, and as He confronted His enemies on the way to the cross, our blessed Redeemer was well aware of what was soon to take place. In his Gospel, St. Matthew writes, chapter 16, From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must also be killed, and that on the third day he, Jesus, would be raised again unto life. The historical resurrection of Jesus Christ has been the immovable cornerstone in the foundation of the Christian faith. In every century, the miraculous Easter event has healed the brokenhearted. It has consoled the hearts of grieving survivors, and it has prepared the aged to face the end of life with courage and great joy. This same resurrection has been the pillar of hope of millions of Christians who have suffered persecution in this, our 20th century. And so then, it is certainly interesting to learn about the remarkable and incredible stories of those Christians in our century who survived for decades under brutal communistic atheism. But mere passing admiration for those who suffered will benefit us absolutely nothing. We must, by faith, recognize the source of true help and living hope. We must understand in a spiritual way why and how these believers survived. And if you and I hope to have a faith that also survives with joy all of the disappointments of this life, then we will need a source of spirituality which will provide us with our daily bread and not merely as a band-aid of occasional remedy. For this reason, then, let me encourage you to turn over a new leaf in your life. Get a new start. Throw away your old defeatism attitudes and start anew. Build upon a solid foundation of faith, which God is now offering you in Christ. Begin by prayer and confess to God that you often fail because you focus your feelings only upon yourself and upon your problems. So then ask God to focus your eyes instead upon the cross. You see, my friend, the cross. Yes, the cross of Calvary is your source of forgiveness and the foundation of your eternal hope. And so just as you eat every day to strengthen your body, so also you need to read and study the Bible every day in order to understand the cross and to feed and to fortify your soul. Jesus was absolutely correct when he called his word the bread of life. Today it is fashionable to say, I am a Christian, but I don't go to church. And others say, I do not need to go to church. And in a very narrow sense, this of course is true. Going to church will not ensure anybody of going to heaven. At the same time, however, God has made his holy will very, very clear. God is a jealous God, and he expects his children to worship him every week. Through weekly worship, the Spirit of God strengthens believers. And through hearing the Word of God preached and taught, discouraged hearts are lifted up. Weekly worship is neither a burden nor an inconvenience. It is one of the greatest blessings that God is now offering to you and to all of His children. As you, by faith, seek to be part of the living body of Christ, remember also that this new life will demand a price. Material possessions can no longer be first in your life. Friends may scorn your new priorities, but don't worry. Instead of serving yourself, the Spirit of God will steer you to serve others. And then as you begin a new life of faith in Christ, do it with great joy. Faith will overcome your fears, and feelings of helplessness will be replaced by hope, and meaninglessness in life will be replaced by a courage and a conviction that will give you purpose in this life and a solid hope of heaven when you die. And so then, my friends, in these next days, remember the modern-day suffering saints of Siberia. But don't just admire their faith and courage. Imitate their Christ-centered lifestyle. Think not of yourself first. Instead, seek to serve others first. And then, by the power that Christ now offers you, make sure that God is the center of all that you do every day. Study your Bible. Visit the sick. Forgive those who have wronged you. Worship God every week. And when you do, you will begin to experience the thrill of a new life in Jesus Christ. Your burdens will be lighter and your frustrations will be less. Your conscience will be clear and your heart will be filled with hope. O Lord, we pray, help us to examine our lives sincerely. Enable us to confess our failures unto you and fix our eyes always upon the hope available through the forgiveness of your crucifixion cross. In our days of discouragement, let us recall those who have suffered much more than we. And so then, let their example of faith be an inspiration and an example for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.